Did you ever want to look like that guy in the fitness ads with the perfect muscles and the six-pack abs? Well, today we're talking with a filmmaker and his trainer who did just that and made a documentary about the process. The video is called I Want to Look Like That Guy, and that is a topic on episode 93 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Well, welcome everybody to Fat to Fit Radio. Jeff, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news.
Well, let's hear the good news first.
Good news is I am weighing in today at 219.3 pounds. I am down 77 pounds, about a little over a pound and a half from our previous show.
Well, that is just excellent. This is a total milestone. I mean, you were what, in grade six when you weighed this last time?
No, sir. No, it wasn't that long ago. It was probably, though, junior 11th grade in high school, last time I weighed this much.
Well, that is a great accomplishment. 77 pounds. That is just huge.
Yep. I've got, about 4 months here until our meetup in July. And so, I have to do about around a pound, a little plus every week here. Hopefully that'll be what I do and get down to that goal.
So how were your goals this week?
Well, that's where we get to the bad news. Good news, eating goals were about 9 out of 10. I would say exercise goals, probably like a 5 out of 10. Now, I went winter camping about a month ago, and I hurt my foot, and I've been trying to nurse it and run and get my cardio in that way, but it's just not working. My foot's not healing well, and so I'm going to have to give up right now on running for a month or two to kind of let that foot heal. And so I'm getting back on the elliptical and doing that for my cardio now instead of the running. So I don't know about running my next 5-10K here in April, but we'll see. Maybe the elliptical and I'll be healed by then and it'll work out okay. But that may be not in the cards for me. So otherwise, motivation, because of this interview coming up here, probably 9 out of 10. Really motivated by what you're about to hear on our feature section.
Well, Russ, I have total confidence. Just because you can't run does not mean you can't do full body exercises using your large core muscles and burn a ton of fat. I'm really not worried about this.
All right, well, this is not going to be your regular Fat to Fit Radio. It's going to be pretty much a show dedicated to the interview we have coming up.
That's right. Today we're going to be talking about a documentary called I Want to Look Like That Guy. This documentary was brought to our attention in the Fat to Fit support group from one of our long-term listeners, and it looked pretty interesting, so I purchased it, and I found it pretty compelling. So let me tell you about the documentary. It is basically an average middle-aged guy who is a little overweight, just like the average person these days, and he wanted to find out what he would have to do to look like that guy in all of those ads in the different fitness magazines. All of those ads seem to be selling a product or program that promises that you can look just like the fitness model in those ads quickly and with little effort. So the filmmaker decided that he would do whatever it takes to get that exact same look of those guys. He soon discovered that all of these guys are bodybuilders and live that lifestyle to get the look for the magazines. So what he does is he hooks up with a professional drug-free bodybuilder and gym owner in his hometown and says, I want to look just like those guys in the ads. I'm going to do whatever it takes and I'm going to film and document everything to see just how hard it really is going to be and to find out if this is something even reasonable that the average person can do. The documentary itself follows two phases. In the first phase, he hits the weights very hard for about 6 months and manages to put on quite a bit of muscle and reduce his body fat percentage. The main goal was to build muscle first. But then life gets in the way and he stops going to the gym and he puts on even more weight than what he started with in the first phase. He comes back to the gym and this is where phase two starts. He's gained some muscle, but now he's ready to get those six-pack abs, and not only that, he's now 204 pounds, he's 5'8", 42 years old, and even to give himself some more pressure, he enters a bodybuilding contest in 7 months' time. And yes, he does it and gets down to an incredible 6% body fat for the competition, and the transformation is absolutely incredible, at least for a few hours. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is this documentary and how to get down to that look, and can the average person really do it?
On the phone, we have Stuart McDonald and Jeff Ouellette. Stuart McDonald is our protagonist that went from a husky guy to uber fit and competed in a bodybuilding contest. Jeff Ouellette is the professional bodybuilder that helped Stuart change his body and look like that guy in the fitness magazines.
Now, the one thing I noticed about the documentary, the majority of our listeners are really concerned about pounds lost because this is, you know, Fat to Fit Radio. They're always talking about how much they weigh, but you rarely mention it at all. And you're always concerned with body fat percentage and body composition. So I'm wondering if you guys can expand upon why this is just so important in your opinions.
It's so important to really focus on body composition. And if you're a slave to that number on the scale, that's not going to tell you the whole story. Because if you do something that tries to lose just dramatic pounds or just see a dramatic number drop, you could actually be screwing up your metabolism because you're losing a good chunk of muscle too. And that is so important. For anybody who's really trying to change their body, you need to not only develop muscle, but you certainly want to maintain every ounce of it you can.
So during phase one, I mentioned in the documentary, Stu's doing 16 minutes of cardio and then doing 4 to 6 reps with extremely heavy weight. So
yes.
Yeah, what were the general rules that he followed for food and working out during that phase one period?
Phase one, I advised Stuart on the nutrition end of it just to be mindful of his nutrition, but we didn't really set anything up so much in stone as far as calorically. I made some recommendations as far as some general supplementation to help him build muscle with, you know, pre and post workout drink. But I think we wanted to see there, and what's interesting, I think, in the documentary is you can really see on that first phase the transition that somebody can make without attention to diet. But then phase two really shows how important diet is to make a dramatic change, because the weight training part was really, you know, constant. The big key for cardio when you're talking about using it for body fat manipulation, the big key is what can it do? How do you use it to get the best elevation out of your metabolism? And the problem is if you're doing long duration, more moderate intensity cardio, you might be overall burning a segment of calories. At that time, that might be greater than the short duration. However, you're not elevating your metabolism as much as you are if you're really working out of your comfort zone for a shorter period of time. That's part A of it. And part B is the longer you go and you start working into that the oxygen system, you get into other energy systems, the more apt you are to start getting in a catabolic or a breakdown state. And that's really the other part of it. But I think the main thing is shifting over to that short, high-intensity cardio where you're huffing and puffing and you're really giving it all you got for the 16-minute range. You're really elevating that metabolism and keeping it elevated for many hours when you get off the bike or the treadmill. And that's really the key, is that the elevation of the metabolism.
And what's really neat about the 16 minutes is that 16 minutes is really easy to wrap your brain around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like, oh, my gosh, I got 40 minutes of cardio. It's like forever. But every day when I did my cardio, I had to beat my distance.
Yep.
And so that was an automatic intensifier.
Yeah, it gives a tangible marker as opposed to just doing your time. Like, well, I'm just going to go do my 30 minutes. But yeah, he's exactly right. You establish a distance goal, and then he was supposed to beat that distance goal every 16 minutes, giving that marker of intensity.
Yeah, and I always tell people that are doing all this extra cardio, and they're not getting this, you know, they're not building extra muscle. And I had a professor ask me that, and I said, well, look at cross-country runners. Do you see any muscle-bound cross-country runners? No. Well, there you go.
So that 16 minutes was a constant rate. It wasn't like you weren't doing intervals or any of those methods.
No, I was going full bore for 16 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
When we were doing the body fat analysis for the phase one, we were really shocked that we were able to gain 10 pounds of muscle and lose almost 10% body fat. And that was just with me having a good workout plan and being mindful of what I was eating. And for somebody at my age, you know, a lot of people don't even think that you can get that far.
Now, we've talked in the past how we see the bodybuilding ads and they say, I've put on 10 pounds of muscle in the first month. You had a great amount of muscle gain. That was really impressive. So were you weight training before at all, or is this kind of the new bodybuilder experience when you're an untrained person, you had this big boost right at the start?
Well, when I say that I've been untrained, that wouldn't be true. I mean, I've always been into physical fitness, but just like everybody that reaches middle age, you slow down, life catches up with you, you have more business commitments, your time is being pulled in other directions. And I just got to the point where I was like, you know, I don't feel right. I don't carry myself well, and I needed to do something about it. And putting the muscle on is just something that you really have to be dedicated to the workout plan. That's about the best advice I can give, and one of the explanations why I was able to put on the kind of pounds that I was being able to do with lean muscle tissue is just because I really had my head screwed on right about what I wanted to achieve.
All right, so now between phase one and phase two, you mentioned the documentary, the life got in the way, things happened. Seems like kind of the wheels came off the cart. I think you mentioned that you had gained some weight. You were up to 204 pounds, and I believe you said you had like a 44-inch waist. What happened during that time?
During that time, I mentioned at the very beginning that I'm a Renaissance man, and I own a haunted house that is one of the largest in the state of Michigan. It's called The Haunting, and there's 50 actors in it, and the set is 20,000 square feet, and I build it. I do all the marketing for it. I do all the, you know, the web design. I mean, I do everything for it. So I throw myself completely into this project in sometimes 18 hours a day. So there's absolutely no time left over for myself. And so you'd grab the food that's the easiest, and that would be fast food. And it's amazing. It blows my mind how much your body wants to be fat rather than lean, because I was able to put so much fat on in such a short period of time that it was just amazing. And then it takes so much longer to take it off. But that's what ended up happening, is that got in the way.
Yeah. So a question for Jeff, kind of a follow up. When Stu came in and he had gained that weight, do you think, okay, now, you know, that phase two, trying to get to that ultra lean point, do you think that was possible at that point? Do you think probably, oh, this is blown?
Yeah. Well, when he came to me with end of this, it was like phase two, and talked about, you know, entering the contest, and I knew, you know, I said, well, you know, it's going to take quite a commitment, and you know, I knew the type of work ethic he had, and I knew that if he was committing to this project and seeing it through, I was confident that he was going to give it his all, and I was also confident that the plan structured would work. My only thing I wasn't sure was how well could he execute it for how long, because having lived it as a natural bodybuilder all those years and knowing what it really takes to get that lean, my only question was, I knew in my mind, boy, I know what he's in for when we get closer. You know, will he be able to still execute it and do his other responsibilities and continue on his other businesses, you know? And so I had faith in the process, but I wasn't sure how well could he do it knowing what he was in for.
You know, that's an interesting thing you said there, that Stuart, you had other things going on. I think it feels like that somebody, in order to achieve the kind of fat loss you did, and would have to work out and do this for a living, it seems like. So you, during this time, were also working your full-time job?
Yes, full-time job as a video production. I own a video production house, Boomerang Studios, and so during that period of time, I was, you know, making commercials and business videos and internet sites. I mean, it was hell. And, you know, I was constantly coming to Jeff going, I just don't know. This is really hard. And I kept on saying, Jeff, how do I look? You know, what's going on? Am I on track? And he kept on saying, yep, just keep doing this. And then I would fall off the wagon a little bit, you know, the burrito incident that's very famous now on the video. But, you know, for the most part, I was 100% dedicated to the plan that he gave me. So when I did fall off, it was only by one meal only. But it is amazing that to get that ultra-lean look that is being sold to the world or America or whoever is looking at trying to get thin, that ultra lean look is so precarious, because once I had that one burrito, I could actually see the results of it within a few hours on my abdomen, because it's hard to explain, but to get that kind of low body fat, it has to be a constant monitor of food, constant.
Well, you know, the thing that really made this real for me is you are the typical average guy who you work out hard, life gets in the way, you put on some weight, you fall off the bandwagon, And then they say, I'm going to come back 10 times harder and make a huge impression and do something incredible. And the one thing that I really noticed about your video here and our show, we're always talking about goal setting and how important it is. And I don't think anyone could do or accomplish what you did without really powerful goals. How did you set these and how did you keep them going and keep yourself motivated throughout this?
That's a question that everybody asks me. And Jeff was really, well, first of all, let's put it this way. You need a team. In order to get these kind of results, your family has to be on board because people are going to try to derail you. So your family has to be on board, your friends have to be on board, your wife or your husband has to be on board, and you have to have a support system at the gym. And Jeff was an enormous support system because he was, you know, I would call him when I was sick. I would call him when I was on the road. And he would be, you know, would always be encouraging me and saying, you know, this is the way you're supposed to feel. Just, you know, work through it. And that's how you do it. I don't know how Jeff did it, but on his own. But you really have to have a support system to do something as dramatic as this. And one of the biggest motivators, and it's hard for people to understand, is that, number one, I took photos of myself all the time. So every teeny tiny little bit of fat loss that I could actually see, and I was like, oh, okay, this is actually working. And then the other thing was I had to make this work if this documentary was going to be viewable. So I really had to do it.
It looked like you got up at 5 in the morning, something like that?
Yeah, I was in here about between 5 and 6 in the morning, every morning.
Was that just because that was the only time you could really get it done every day consistently?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, to do it in the middle of the day, it was just like, no, there's just no way I could do it. I had to get it done first thing in the day, and that was tough. And I was falling asleep by 8:30, 9 o'clock at night when I was toward the end of the diet. It was just easier to go to sleep because you're starving.
So we are now in the, I guess you'd call it the hardcore phase. So what were you doing for nutrition and working out during these 6 to 7 months?
Well, I'll let Jeff answer the nutrition thing because pretty much it was just broccoli and and protein supplements. But the workout is kind of funny. The workout really never changed. It just kept intensifying. And the 16 minutes that you do for cardio, I don't know if we talked about this already or not, but there's a point where people spend way too much time on the treadmill. By doing 16 minutes, you're not entering what's called, I think, the catabolic stage, where your muscles tend to eat themselves.
Yeah, it's to encapsulate the whole process, really, it's in general, like he's right, the weight training stays the same because that's tailored to build and maintain muscle by lifting heavy weights with basic compound lifts. And he's right, and the short and intense cardio has a bigger elevating effect on your metabolism and for longer after exercise, and it has less of any negative impact on the muscle building. So from that standpoint, we're both building and preserving muscle. Then the nutrition is a balance of protein and it's really timing the carbohydrates correctly around your workout time. And as he said, in the non-training hours, a lot of vegetables, and then we do gradual calorie skims over that whole 6 month period. And that's what I did to become one of the greatest natural bodybuilders in the world. It's the same process. And that's what I to hammer to everybody, even if you're not trying to be a great bodybuilder, the same process of manipulating fat and muscle is going to be pretty much universal for everybody and should be handled more similar than different. And that's exactly what we implemented with Stuart.
Yeah. And that's, and what's interesting is that I did the same diet that Jeff did.
Yes.
And I also lifted the exact same routine that Jeff did.
Yep.
And, you know, I wasn't doing any funky, weird curls or isolation movements. You know, Jeff is always about moving your body the way you actually move your body. If you're going to pick something up off the floor, you're not going to isolate your bicep and, you know, get into some funky, weird position. No, you're just going to pick it up off the floor. Well, that's how this whole workout is designed, is to use your skeleton the way it's been designed. But on the nutrition end, I have a little story. There was a point where I started to feel bad during the day. And so without permission, I took my potato that I was supposed to eat at 10 o'clock in the morning after my workout meal, and I moved it to 1 o'clock. And I figured, well, that potato will help carry me through the rest of the day because I was really tired. And so I did that for a couple of weeks, and I leveled off at 186 pounds, and I wasn't losing any weight at all. And I told Jeff what I did. I said, I moved my potato over to 1 o'clock, and it was so much better. And he said, you did what? And I said, yeah, I didn't change any of the calorie content. I just moved the potato from 10 to 1. And he said, no. The reason why the potato's there is there for a reason. It's because you center most of your nutrition around your workout, because that's when your body is screaming for as much nutrition as possible to repair the muscle tissue and to build your metabolism, and you sort of skim the rest of your carbohydrates out through the rest of the day. So, because you don't need carbohydrates to sleep so much. I mean, you're not doing a lot of activity. And I think that's where people fail, is that they have too many carbs toward the end of the day. I mean, we've always had our grandmothers and our mothers make huge meals at dinner, and I think that's probably one of the reasons why we're a little heavier than we should be.
So really, your ultimate goal here is to lose body fat and not lose any muscle that you've created in the first phase here. How did you do? Did you lose muscle mass throughout the dieting phase?
Well, I think he showed if you actually look at the percentage, I think he showed a net gain of about 4 pounds of muscle when it was all said and done, and being, I believe that's what it worked out to be, something like that, and being, under 6% body fat. So it showed that the plan not only maintained muscle, but actually had a net gain of muscle when it was all said and done.
Because, I mean, bodybuilding is such a science when you get into the really high levels, and Jeff, being a professional bodybuilder, you've done this over and over again. It is so important, like you're saying, when you're eating exactly what you're eating. Do you think it's that important for the average person to get into 70 to 80% of the shape that Stu got into?
No, I do think the timing is important. And by that, I mean a simple understanding of the glycemic index rating of carbohydrates, and simply knowing what that is, and to put those around your workout time, something simple like that. And then in the non-training hours, sticking with protein and low glycemic carbohydrates, that simple strategy is the crux of the whole diet plan. And then beyond that, no, the average person doesn't need to be that meticulous calorically, but you do need to be mindful of it. And I just want to add, I mean, the one of the important messages for me is, like, to have an extreme physique, you have to lead an extreme lifestyle.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean if you want to settle in somewhere that's healthy, you don't need to be that extreme. But healthy and the way the extreme look don't necessarily overlap. And so that's, I think, an important thing to consider.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. In the video, when you see what I had to go through to look that way, when I was at the contest, I looked my best, but I was really weak. I didn't feel my best. I didn't feel right at all.
Well, actually, no, Stu, I wrote down a quote that you said in there. You said, feeling that these people are just starving themselves to death, no life, no energy, may look great, but you won't feel great.
Yeah, and I think the people that, say, oh my gosh, I look like this all the time and I feel great like this all the time, either one, they're trying to sell you something, or two, maybe they do have a natural tendency to look like that.
Or three, they're using chemical enhancement to help them get there.
And that's one thing that I think we both are very adamant about, is that there was no steroid use in this documentary at all. This was completely natural. And I wouldn't have done it if there was any chemical enhancements whatsoever.
So let's talk about the supplements now. During each of these phases, you started, you mentioned, Jeff, with the protein supplements, I think it was before and after workout drinks. And then during phase two, that was a very large number of calories that Stu was consuming were through these supplements. Now, I know that probably for the bodybuilder, that's going to be an important part, but for that average person, can an average person get in that 70-80%? Is that going to be achievable without as large a number of supplements?
Well, here's where there's one specific time of day where I think absolutely you want supplement protein, and that's pre and post training. A whey protein is what anybody would want because of the speed of absorption, and that's universal. Now, the rest of the day, what really works well with like a meal replacement type supplement, and worked well with Stuart and a guy or a gal who has other life commitments. You can't always sit down and break out the Tupperware of chicken breast and go at it, but you more likely can, you know, get a shaker and some water and mix up the drink and have your nutrition, because consistent eating is vital to your metabolic manipulation here and your muscle building. So that's why I heavily, when I work with people and coach them, I work in a lot of liquid nutrition for their overall success. Now, that doesn't mean to say that if you can manipulate the food nutrients to have about the same amount of calories and so on, you can kind of substitute that. But I think the advantage is convenience and also measurability. Measuring your calories is very easy when you have a lot of supplementation as nutrients.
Yeah, I found the supplement route to be very convenient for the type of lifestyle that I was leading in order to make this thing work. You just don't have the time to cook in a schedule that I had, so just opening up a packet was much easier.
Well, I guess if we want to jump ahead to the bodybuilding competition, so after about 7 months, you got down to 6% body fat, you were down to 154 pounds, and you looked amazing. You had striations in your muscles, you could see everything, you had the full six-pack abs. So tell us about the bodybuilding competition itself.
I was smiling a lot because, number one, I achieved the look that I really had no idea I could do it. And at one point, you know, you just look down at yourself and you're like, I cannot believe I look like this. And I couldn't believe that I was walking around basically in a thong all day long, not even thinking about it. And there's half-naked people backstage helping them get themselves all oiled down. It was a very surreal experience. And it was a lot of fun, you know, and it's just one of those things that I was really glad to say that, you know, I was able to do it one time and get it out of the way and, you know, put it in the bucket list. But, you know, it's kind of funny. It is very nerve-wracking. When you walk out on that stage, you're all by yourself and you're wearing very little. So obviously, if you had any muscle to show, it's going to show. And it was all about presenting yourself as the most positive aspects of your body as possible. And that's what Jeff was really great at, is teaching me how to pose, because there is a science to it and an art. You know, it's kind of like it's a subjective competition. And in being subjective competition, you have to be artsy about it. And that's the part about it that I liked, is that if you had some showmanship and style to it, you can actually win. I mean, I was in the Michigan State Championships and haven't ever gone that far in my life in a competition like that, in getting second place and third overall in the Masters. That's a pretty good accomplishment.
So you got down to 154 pounds. How tall are you?
I'm 5'8.5".
Okay, so we're actually about the exact same height, and we're probably actually pretty close to our same lean body mass. So I can actually see myself getting down to that, because you're only a couple years older than me. And that is something that maybe I could, you know, achieve and do it for a couple days. You mentioned that 3 days later, your abs were already gone after the competition.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much they were gone. I mean, right after the competition was over with, I'm also a magician, too. I do that on the side. I've been doing that for 20 years. And I had to jump on a flight at 6 o'clock in the morning in full tanning and in full tan, jump on a plane and do a show at a hotel in Florida for a photography convention. And the first thing that I saw when I was there was they had a champagne brunch. They almost kicked me out. I mean, I ate so much food.
Nice.
I probably ate 15 pounds of food. It was just, it's kind of funny. When something like that is over with, you look at yourself and you say, my gosh, I've got so much, my well is so empty, I can fill it up a little bit more. So I just ate like crazy. Everything that I couldn't eat, I was eating. And so, yeah, you know, I overdid it, but,
which is very common, especially when people do their first bodybuilding shows, and even back as a teenager and whatnot when I was doing it, it's very common. And then that rebound effect that you saw, then that's the result of it. It wouldn't be that dramatic if you ease off of it and ease some things in, but it's understandable when you've done something like that and you haven't really done it before repetitive, I mean, that's your natural instinct, because essentially you're walking the line of starving yourself to a degree at that level. So, I mean, the natural instinct is like, hey, we can eat, let's, you know, do it.
Yeah, thank goodness I can have a beer now with my friends that have disowned me.
So did you find a healthy balance after this where you're not quite in that shape, but you're better than what you were, somewhere in the middle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a definite respect for the people that make it to that level, and a definite gauge for myself to know, okay, what is really possible? If I wanted to look like that again, I know what I have to do to get to that point, but that's an extreme lifestyle that I can't do. There's just no way I can do it. Unless somebody paid me to do it, then I would do it, but no. So right around 20, 22... 15, 16, 17. 15, 16, 17 is probably where I'd want to be in the summer. And then, you know, naturally over the winter, you know, you put on a few pounds anyway. But my gauge is this. Can I still do the same things that I did last year in my best shape? And yes, my weights are still, I'm still pushing the same weights that I did when I was in the contest. I'm actually running farther now. So yeah, it's just a matter of what you can say to yourself in your mind, in your mind's eye, this is okay to look like this. No, I don't look like a bodybuilder right now, but I look good in clothes. People aren't repulsed by me.
So how have the sales of the DVD been going? Have you getting a lot of people interested in the in your story?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it's gone real well. We've shipped over 10 different countries and got a lot of really wonderful feedback from very positive for people who've seen it. And I think for me, it's the message is something that isn't told a lot. So I'm really proud of what it's saying.
And it's kind of funny. If you just go anywhere online and just Google, I want to look like that guy, you'll find that there's so many people, especially off of our YouTube clips, people are going out of their way to come back to the YouTube clip and make a comment that I watched it 4 or 5 times. My neighbor across the street has said the same thing, and I'm like, why are you watching it 4 to 5 times? I can't even watch it. But they just can't believe what I did to get to where I was, and they can't believe the transformation. And it's like watching a magic trick. And you know, they're looking for the secret pill or something, and there's no secret pill. But the same thing all the way across the board. Everybody loves it. They find it very entertaining. And they're getting a lot out of it. And I think the biggest thing that people are getting out of it, and this is something that's happening in schools, are buying it. They're buying it so that kids can understand what hard work and dedication can do, a good workout and a good lifestyle ethic can do. And also, it's transferring over to girls. Young girls have a body image problem. It's at a really young age because they're trying to look like these, you know, really super rail thin models. And they have, you know, eating disorders. Well, and so and that's kind of a social pressure thing, but this is also letting people understand that, no, that's a specific lifestyle that is very, very hard to achieve, and it's not normal. And but this is more of what a normal person looks like.
Well, I'm one of these people that watched it a couple times, and I found it very inspirational, and I was really impressed with the drastic change. But the thing that really made it real for me, like I was saying, is that you had to work so hard, and it's not something that you can maintain. Most of these videos that are similar to this, I achieved this in so many months, and you can too, so you know, pay me so much money, and I'll tell you how to do it. You say, this is how I did it. It was all hard work, and you can't stay like that unless you keep working like that. So I think it's a really good way that you ended it off there. Can you let our listeners know where they can get a copy of this if they're interested?
Sure, at jeffwillette.com. And the main website, if you want to know information, and there's 5 or 6 different clips from the movie, it's called iwanttolooklikethatguy.com. And there's links back to Jeff's website as well. And Jeff also has blogs.
I just wanted to say again, I think the thing that I like everybody to understand is that you can achieve fantastic things drug-free, but you have to pay the price, and you have to be willing to lead an extreme lifestyle, a lifestyle to have an extreme physique. But it's okay to settle somewhere in the middle that's realistic for you to do, and that's up to the individual to decide. But don't be discouraged because you don't look like that image that's sold to you if you're not willing to or educated on how to get there.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for the interview. You had a lot of great information. And we will have all of those links that we mentioned in the show notes at fattofitradio.com if you didn't quite catch all of those. And that will take you to all of those interesting sites. So thanks again, guys.
Hey, well, thank you very much for the interview. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, so Russ, it's been a couple days since we recorded this, and we had some audio problems that we had to clean up, so we've listened to the interview again and had some time to think about it. So what are your overall impressions, some things that you've kind of reflected on, and what do you think about the interview?
Well, I think it was, like I said in the beginning of the show, extremely motivating. I mean, watching a guy go from 30% body fat down to less than 6% in a really very short time frame, you know, it made me very hopeful for making my goal here. But you know, the part where he's really not eating as much food as I would like and having a lot of supplements, I thought that was, you know, a little bit unrealistic, at least for myself.
Well, I think the overall goal of the documentary was to show, if you want to look like this and have quick results and do a bodybuilding competition, you can do it, but there is a very high price to pay for it.
Yeah, the little amount of food he was eating at the end, I mean, 1,300 calories, I think we calculated it as 500 calories below his BMR. He also mentioned in the interview there that he had a net gain of about 4 pounds of muscle. So there was actually, during that time frame when he was dieting down that and his extreme low calories there at the end, that he lost a little bit of muscle mass.
That's right. So if he gained 10 pounds of muscle in the first phase, and then he lost about 50 pounds, but he lost about 6 pounds of muscle mass. So as a bodybuilder following this bodybuilding lifestyle, their goal is to lose fat without losing any muscle. And he still managed to lose 6 pounds of muscle while he lost those 50 pounds. So even though he's taking all of the supplements, all of the protein, lifting the weight to maintain his muscle, he was still losing. So I think that goes to show that if you eat below your BMR, you're going to lose muscle mass no matter what. Now, we didn't mention this during the interview, but when you purchase the DVD like I did, on the DVD itself, it has all of his menus. So you can see what he ate week by week and see how they were cutting the calories and the supplements that he was eating, etc. And his last 2 weeks, he was down about 1,350 calories. His BMR was about 1,850, 1,900.
Right, and I keep thinking back when he actually lost muscle mass when he was, I mean, all those supplements and the working out, the amazing amount he was working out, you know, every single day, that those listeners out there who are eating below their BMR but not doing anywhere near the kind of weightlifting that Stu was doing during his phase two of this this plan, and how much muscle mass are they losing when they are in this that low-calorie diet?
I do like how the documentary ended. Stu lists a lot of things that he believes in that he discovered along the way. And one of the things is to look like this and get this look very quickly. It isn't healthy and you are weak. And this look has nothing to do with health. And I think that's a good message that he got across.
You know, it was also interesting about 3 days later at the end of the DVD, he mentions that he had gained back 10 pounds after not being on this diet anymore. And his abs that were so defined in the contest were gone now.
Well, you know, the way that I look at this, we talked about people getting to 70 or 80% of the way that he looked, and people can do it over double the time or triple the time and not really have these rebound effects because they're not changing their lifestyle to be so drastic. And I think if people see his look at 5 or 6% body fat and see just how thin and skinny he is, being 70 to 80% of what he is without taking all of these supplements all the time, people can attain that. It's just going to take a little bit longer.
So after watching this DVD, I would definitely suggest if any listeners are, you know, into the checking out what this kind of extreme lifestyle is like and how you would do this, go from this, like I mentioned in the beginning, kind of a husky to, you know, an uber fit guy, definitely check out the DVD.
Yeah, for the people who are interested in the bodybuilding lifestyle, this gives and more of an accurate representation of what that lifestyle really is to become a super fit and fitness model looking type of person. For the average person, it is also interesting. At least come to fatfitradio.com, click on our links to look at the YouTube videos just to get an idea of what this guy looked like at the start and the end of the process. It's quite amazing. So Russ, this show's going a little bit long. Let's move into the recipe of the week.
All right, Jeff, well, I have here a recipe and, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, It is Mexican, but it was not my idea. This one was sent to me by listener Ivan Garza. He is from Colombia, and he sent over this recipe. It's at the Runner's World site, and it's called Tiny Tacos. Now, these are look like kind of like finger foods. They're mostly these little tortilla shell chips that are kind of, they're called scoops, I believe. And you mix up some meat and tomatoes and all these great little ingredients and make these kind of finger-sized tacos. And 10 tacos makes a serving. It's about 210 calories, 18 grams of protein. That's awesome. 19 grams of carbs and just 6 grams of fat. So yeah, these would be good for like, you know, watching your favorite sports team and hanging out on a Saturday. And let's check them out. Tiny Tacos.
Yeah, they do look pretty good.
Well, very good, Jeff. Now, what is our homework for everybody this week?
Well, did you know that for most households, you can judge the obesity and fitness level of the people who live there just by looking around their home? Even without any pictures in the house, you can tell what sort of lifestyle these people live and make inferences about them and therefore their fitness levels. You see, success leaves clues. Look around your own home this week for clues of your own lifestyle. Are there processed food wrappers in the trash, running shoes by the front door, a pile of dishes on the coffee table by the TV, or a bowl of fruit in the kitchen? What would you infer if you were a maid that was just hired to clean your own home?
Well, Jeff, I don't know. I'm not that introspective, but it's good homework for everybody else but me. But Jeff, what is our quote for the week?
Well, this week's quote comes from Sean Phillips, and he said, "Fear and excitement are the exact same emotion, one with a grip on the past and the other a tight grip on the future."
All right. Thank you, Jeff. And I want to thank Jeff Ouellette and Stuart McDonald for coming on for an interview. I think that was awesome. We'll have links in the show notes where you can find that DVD and check out, like Jeff said, all those little YouTube clips where you can get kind of a taste of what the whole DVD is about. And we'll be back to our regular show next time. So come back then. And until then, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.